good to see you here this morning.
Okay.
Couple of announcements. First of all, we still have potluck today, but we're not having the movie. So we are only having the potluck, and then we will reschedule the movie, so we will be sure and let you know when we have the movie. Also, for prayer requests, if you would, we're going to share them like we used to do, but would you please write something on the prayer thing that's back there, so for Debbie to put in the worship folder, because if you don't write it on here, it won't get into the worship folder. So be sure you do that, and you can just put them into the offering plate when it comes around. And I think that is all for today. I'm anxious. We have Teresa back. Yay! So let's stand, and we're going to go to our call to worship. And today it is Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today, Lord. We are just so thankful for what you give us each and every day. Father God, I just praise you. I praise you that we have this place to come and worship. I praise you for all of the people that are here. I love them dearly. Father God, just be with us. Open our hearts to Teresa's words that she is going to share, because I know you've put something special on her heart to share with us today. Father God, just be with us as we sing these songs. Just let it be songs of praise to you. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. All right.
Thank you.
God, if I thirst, I should come to Him. No one else can satisfy. I should come to Him. Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to Him. No one else can be my strength. I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said that if I fear, I should come to Him. No one else can be my shield. I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said, if I am lost, He will come to me. And He showed me on that cross, He will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind. Jesus strong and kind.
Amen. Most I sacrifice.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'll try to do this so that the stream can hear what's going on. Time for us to celebrate our tithes and offerings and giving back for what God has given so graciously to us. And so if the ushers will come forward, we'll do our Sunday morning offering. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings and gifts you've given us, whether it be of finances or just the best gift of all, the sacrifice of one sinless man who was God and could overcome sin. The perfect sacrifice that could not be killed because there were no wages of sin that were death over him. And now we say thank you because there are no wages of sin that are death over us because of you living in our hearts. So from that great thankfulness, we return but a portion of the great blessings you have given. Amen.
Thank you. business.
Remember, if you have a prayer request, put it on the back of one of the communion cards so that we can get those updated in the bulletin. So when people take those home each week, they have them to use for their guided prayer. And of course, the prayer chain is always good for that too, for moments that happen unexpectedly. So let's go together as a body now, and let's share some praises and some prayer requests for what's going on in the body, our family, our friends, and those that are dear to us. And then we can together lift those up before the Lord. So anyone have a desire to share? I'm going to put you on the spot. Debbie, how's Ted doing? I'm glad he was able to sleep. Yeah. Not everybody knows, or maybe everybody knows, that Ted had an ATV accident, a four-wheeler, I think, right? It landed back on top of him, and he has 8 broken ribs, one of them multiple fractures, and then his collarbone also, and a vertebrae that was fractured, right? And his nose. Oh my, punctured lung in his good lung. Okay. Praise God, he beat some lung cancer not too long ago. Now, Lord, help the one lung that's really good get him through. So lots of prayer for Ted. I know he's been on my heart 3 or 4 times as we've seen stuff come through that group me chat for the... Yeah, the group me for the prayer chain. That's the classic thing, prayer chain. It's not gossip, it's the prayer chain. Well, it's the prayer chain. A praise. Praise for Marie Hunley. Yep. And the fact that they found what was causing the infection, the soreness and infection in her teeth.
And then they also got their
stuff. Into an assisted living environment or supported. Okay. They moved from assisted living to another location. I've been trying to keep up with their moves because it seems like it's... Marie needs more support. Okay. They're going to nest instead of wanting to fly the coop. Okay. All right. As we get older, yes. Anyone else like to share? Yes, Teresa.
So, I was with my mother. My mother's 80 years old, and she's about to die. So, I'm a little scared to go to the morning and check in her. She's going to pray for her after. And praise the Lord. No problems. She's fine.
And your mom's name is? Carrie. So Pastor Teresa's mom, Carrie Watson, took a fall, but bounced right back at 80 years old. That's right. Yeah. Yes, Bill. Yeah. So praises that Bill has some job interviews coming this week. Prayer for Brad Lewis. He's our brother at our sister church in Lynchwood, in Portland, technically, I think. Right on the border between Portland and Gresham, yeah. I don't know if you guys know too much, but Funky Unky Brad and Jivin' Uncle Ivan have done a number of summer camps together at White Branch. So I really feel for my brother Brad Lewis with COVID. Prayers for him. Fred. Yep. Yep. Prayer for Ted's mother, Betty, who is also recovering from a broken femur. And that means more prayer for Debbie. More and more prayer. We love you, sister. We love you up there, sister. Everybody on the count of three to Debbie say we love you. One, two, three. We love you. Oh, you are so strong with him. With him. Yes. Yep. Okay. Are they friends or family for Helen? They're family. So Helen's family with COVID still struggling and coming through that illness as well. Prayer for them. And that was Kim and Todd, right? Kim and Todd Stewart. Oh, okay. I know Kim and Todd Stewart now. Yes. Anyone else? Have a Kim. Yay! Yes. Hallelujah. Faith over fear. So a praise that Dan, and I'm trying to remember your husband, right? It's been a little while, so it's actually sticking up there still. Kim Farron's husband, Dan, recovering from colon cancer still. Yeah. Anyone else have a need or praise they'd like to share?
Thank you for my prayers for my daughter. She is still having a lot of pain in her tooth. She did get into
So praise, kind of figured out what's going on, and prayer for the upcoming surgery for your daughter. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that was prayer for Linda's daughter, Libby, and continued journey toward a tooth extraction, it sounds like, and a surgery is going to come. Fred. Prayer for Tom and Lori Wiseman and continued travel mercies through the blazing south. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. For Nikki and Zed living back with mom. Yeah, absolutely. I miss those guys. Carolyn. Okay, so prayer for our sister Linda with back pain and neck pain. Absolutely. A little bit of an update on what my son shared last week with JoJo, our dog. We did get an appointment. The insistent mother phone calls produced an appointment on the 20th to see a veterinary cardiologist. and see if we can figure out what's going on. Because she has a seizure disorder and the arrhythmia, they gave her a higher importance level and moved her appointment up to the 20th. So hopefully we can figure out what's going on with our sweet pupper. Anybody else? Okay, so Josh is asking for prayer for good health, and for the food ministry, and for those that are homeless and in need. Okay. Anybody else? It sounds like I'm repeating you. I am, so that people that are streaming this can hear and participate. Yeah. I know they were working on trying to resolve that. Well, I don't think I was mic'd last week, so it wouldn't have been fair. I know there was one camp I did where we didn't have a PA system, and they said I had the spiritual gift of loudmouthedness, and that worked for the first night. But after that, the gift tended to leave. I needed the microphone. All right, let us go together as one family, one body at Gales Creek. Father Lord, you have heard each and every prayer need and every praise we bring to you. Lord, so many times those things coincide. I'm just reminded of the bumper sticker that's out there that says, He is greater than I. And we know that you are greater than we together. But we still come before your throne together in one voice and one heart in unison and ask and lift up and come before you asking for your intervention in so many of these needs, from a dog to oral surgery, continued fights with cancer, from a nasty ATV wreck with a lot of bodily damage. Lord, we know that you created each and every one of us here. You know each and every one of us inside out. And we trust that you can impart the wisdom to all of the doctors that handle our illnesses to the best of each and every one of our body's needs. I firmly believe that, Lord, that when you knit us together in our mother's womb, you knew every bit about us and what we needed the most our entire lives. So as a body, we just trust you right now, Lord, for the body. Lord, now we lift up the leaders in our government. Lord, you tell us to pray for our leaders, whether we politically agree or diametrically or opposed. You don't care. You have told us to pray for our leaders. And so, Lord, we lift up all of our leaders on the city level, council level, state level, national level, and ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit get a hold of their heart, give them wisdom, and give them guidance on how best to lead this great experiment of your love and sovereignty, known as the United States. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord to be able to be with you today once again. Glory to God. Today I want to start us off on a series, since I'll be able to visit with you for the next couple of Sundays, right? Called Let Us. Not let us as in eating a salad, but let us as a command. So that's the imperative two-word verb, let us. I was reading my devotional one day, and one of the scriptures was taken from Hebrews chapter 4. And it was either the next day or maybe just a couple days later, I was reading an article, and Hebrews 4 showed up in that article. And so that's when I was like, okay, wait, that's more than a coinkydink, right? If you're doing reading it over here and then totally unrelated, it shows up again. It's probably God trying to say something. So, yeah, he was trying to get my attention. Thank you, Sister Judy. That's what he was doing. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I should go back and read the whole book of Hebrews and maybe at least the whole chapter. Like, what's going on there? What is God trying to tell me or show me? Maybe something new. So I had to go back, reread the chapter again, and then look for the data that maybe I overlooked previously. And sure enough, I started reading more articles about Hebrews chapter 4. And one of the articles pointed out this repeated phrase that you'll find, "Let us." And so in this series, we're going to explore three of those "let us" phrases that you find in the book of Hebrews. So the first is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 specifically, but I actually want to read the preceding verses. So I'll start with verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Okay. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us, and just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, "In my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world." Verse 4 says, "We know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work." But in the other passage, God said, "They will never enter my place of rest." So God's rest is there for the people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. "Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts." Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. Verse 11, "So let us do our best to enter that rest." But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. God bless the reading and the hearing of his word, and more importantly, those who do his word. So again, the key phrase for today is found in verse 11. Let us do our best to enter that rest. So allow me to give a little bit of background on the book of Hebrews. The author is actually unknown. There are many scholars who have nominated Paul, the Apostle Paul, but it's most likely not Paul. And here's a couple reasons why. It's most likely not Paul because usually when Paul writes something, he has the practice of naming himself as the author. So if you can remember anything written by Paul, "I, Paul," and then he goes on to say blah, 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 right? So he doesn't do that here in this book. And also, another reason we don't think it's written by Paul is because the topics in Hebrews, when you read that whole book, they're not really covered in any of Paul's other letters to the churches. For example, Hebrews talks about the tabernacle, the high priest Melchizedek, and the role of Christ as the high priest. so probably not likely to be Paul, but someone who followed Jesus nonetheless. Another important thing to note about the book of Hebrews is the audience. Like the other letters that were circulated among believers, this letter is also addressed to believers. By reading the content of the letter, we can conclude that they are most likely Hellenistic Jews, some immature in their walk with Christ, some who were previously persecuted, or even currently being persecuted and suffering persecution. The author offers in response solutions to help remind the believers of the truth of who Jesus is, and he calls believers to appropriate action. Hence the phrase, "let us," and all of the "let us" statements. And so today's statement of encouragement commands believers to do our best to enter the rest. And the writer is referring to God's rest. He or she is reminding the saints that God made a promise of rest to his people. The author points out to the reader back to the Old Testament story of Moses and the journey to Canaan after the Exodus. Now, sometimes I look back at that and I think, oh my goodness, to be Moses in that time. Having to deal with the saints of God who caused him conniptions. My imagination runs wild when I look back at that story and think, oh yeah, some things just don't change. As believers of Christ, sometimes we get to be ornery like the Israelites, right? Oh, I forgot. That would never happen in this church here. That would only happen in the other churches I belong to. The incident, you can go back and look. And that's why I love the Old Testament and the Bible in general, because it has great stories, right? So if you go back to Exodus 17, you'll see the story there. And that's where the Israelites question Moses. They challenge him with this question: is the Lord here with us or not? Because they were tired. They were thirsty. There was no clean water readily available. The children were hungry. The livestock were dehydrated. So they make their complaints to Moses, wondering if God is really for them. Another passage that recounts God's response to the Israelites' doubt can be found in Psalm 95. It's very fascinating to go and read that passage, Psalm 95. And so the author of Hebrews actually ends up quoting it because he borrows it to make this illustration. Listen to verses 8 through 11 in Psalm 95. The Lord says, "Don't harden your hearts as Israel did in Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years I was angry with them, and I said, 'They are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them.'" And verse 11 says this: "So in my anger I took an..." Oh, this is God speaking. "They will never enter my place of rest." Isn't that sad? That's powerful, and it's very sad. God had made and done this wonderful thing for the Israelites. He made this promise to them, and he says, "I've got a resting place for you." But on that journey, they got tired, they got hungry, they got in their flesh, and they forgot about God's promises. They even forgot about what God actually did. So I can see, I can relate to that. You can get tired. Someone told you, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to meet you on such and such a day for breakfast." And then they don't show up. You get disappointed. But they actually forgot the miracles that God performed. He didn't just, "Okay, let's open the gates and then you guys walk out." There were the 10 plagues. There was the whole witnessing to the Egyptians of who God is. And then the ultimate sacrifice of the firstborn, if they did not have Jesus. So they get out of there And Moses is taking them to this promised land, and they start complaining and they get lost. And here's the rub, because like I said, we all can understand what happened to the older generations of Israelites who lost their faith during challenging times, because sometimes that happens to us. Our faith is challenged. It could be loss of a job. It could be a terminal illness. It could be a long-standing illness. It could be whatever, whatever. If you're a parent, wayward children, they grieve our spirits. They hold a heavy place in our hearts, right? And so you question, like, God, you know, why did you give me this child? I can't do anything with him or her. That might be the thoughts going through your head. But you have to understand God is still with you. So it doesn't matter what you are going through. He hasn't forgotten you. He has not forgotten. But I think sometimes it just overwhelms us too much. And so like the Israelites, we forget all the good stuff that God has done in our lives. And we act like we're brand new, like we don't know who God is. Did he not heal you before? Did he not give you clothing before? Did he not provide for you before? Then why are you standing here as if he's not done any of that? And you have the audacity to say, God, I don't even think you're real. I don't even think you care about me no more. Because that's what the Israelites did. They got caught up in that space of desperation, and they forgot who God is. They forgot about his promises. They forgot what he had done already in their lives, and so they gave up. They gave up. And the lesson to be learned is this. And I know, we're not physically wandering the globe searching for a new home like they were. We don't have cattle to water, and our meals are not limited to just bread and quail a couple times a day. Although sometimes you may get sick and you know, mad and frustrated because it's, didn't we just have this yesterday? Like, why are we having this again? Like, we should be grateful that we have food, right? Because some people do not have access to food. But yet again, he's provided for us. So we can't completely relate to the Israelites because we're not in that exact situation. But let me be clear, no matter what our lived experience is, we can relate to feeling abandoned or wondering, is God still there? Is he still listening? Does he hear me praying? Wondering if God really cares or even sees us and what's happening to us is actually okay. I know we've been taught, some people have been taught, that you're not supposed to question God. You're not supposed to have bad thoughts and say things, negative things. But God knows your heart, and he wants to be in relationship with you. So you don't have to pretend. You don't have to pretend like you're super holy and that nothing ever gets next to you. Because as a human being, things are going to get under your skin. Things are going to drive you absolutely insane. And you're going to be at wit's end. And this is why your relationship with God counts the most. Because when you are at wit's end, this is where God can step in and do his work. So don't be afraid to complain like the Israelites did. Okay, quail, really? Again? Manna, really? Again? And then like little kids, are we there yet? I thought we were just going to walk across the I-5 bridge and be in Vancouver. Isn't that the promised land? Why is it taking so long? It feels like we're walking to the eastern side of Canada. Aren't we there yet? Why did you take us out of Egypt? At least our slave masters got food for us and we had a bed to lay on. We're out here just walking around willy-nilly. Come on, Moses. So what happened for them was they didn't just complain. They actually let that complaint fester in their heart. So it became resentment toward God. So then they stopped believing God. And that's where the sin is. It's not in the complaining. It's actually in the disbelief. Yeah, I know. And that's so hard. He promised them rest. But because of their disobedience, their hearts were hardened. And so God couldn't, he couldn't take them into the promised land like he had promised. It's like, wow, that's a deep, deep lesson to have to learn. You cannot give up on believing in God's salvation. They assumed that just because he didn't answer instantly, that he had stopped caring at all. And this is what the writer of Hebrews warns against. She reminds us, and the readers of the letter, but also us today, that God has promised rest to his people and that we must not be disobedient and not allow our hearts to be hardened. We cannot give up our faith. Now, that might seem like a simple enough of a reminder, right? Okay, I need to still believe in God, even though he's taken all day and he's taken all year and he's taken 5 years to answer me on this one thing. But that's what is meant. That's what resting means. It doesn't matter what my situation is. I'm going to continue to believe in God. And that's where you will find rest. For Israelites wandering the wilderness, rest meant arriving to the promised land that scripture describes as flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey represents prosperity in that land, right? Because it would be, there would be a lot of goats, and goats produce milk, but you can also eat their meat. There was honey. There were lots of bees to produce that sweet substance that we like. So that's what was represented when they said that promised land full of milk and honey and all the fig trees that would be there to yield a sweet product. Again, for us today, that might seem like, oh, that's a kind of a cool story. He gets them out of Egypt. He's going to take them to this cool place. But along the way, they run into some problems. Okay, that's a cool story. Yeah, we're not looking for a promised land, right? This is 2021. There's no promised land to get to. Not a physical one, right? But God is still saying to us, oh, come, my dear one, come. And I will give you rest. So what does rest look like for us in 2021? Given the fuller story of the Israelites and other scriptures in the Bible, we have to remember the whole aspect of God's rest. Now, incidentally, one of the spiritual disciplines is the practice of the Sabbath, right? Sabbath or Shabbat is the Hebrew word for rest. And God first calls us to rest way back in the beginning of time when he finished creating the universe. And remember, over time, he placed his rest into the Ten Commandments so that his people would follow his example. So God expects us to rest physically, right? Regularly. Listen to the key word, regularly, not on occasion take rest, or just about when we're about to pass out, take rest. He goes, no, practice rest regularly. God made all of these things, and he sits back and he goes, ooh, that's some good work. I'm going to sit down and rest now. And he rested. And then he turned around and he codifies it into his rule, book of rules. Hey, people, I need you to take a break. I took a break. I need you to follow because you were created in my image. I need you too to take a break. So taking a break means physically resting. And I know that the Israelites, they grew physically weary. They got lost in the process and forgot what God had told them through his prophet Moses. And they forgot the miracles they witnessed. The love and belief they once had grew cold because they looked at their present circumstance and couldn't imagine God's salvation. And this is why they died off in the wilderness and only the younger Israelites entered Canaan, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. So go back in the scripture. Remember, those are the only two who were over the age 20 who got to make it in. And so, again, you can read about that in Numbers chapter 13. Anyone over 20 lived out their days in the Sinai wilderness, all because they lost their faith and couldn't grasp what God was calling them to. I have rest for you. I have rest for you. So God calls us to rest physically, but I also believe that God calls us to commune with him. So when we are physically, that's why we physically take a break. That's why on Sunday now, right, we make it a worship day. We come and we fellowship with our brothers and sisters from Christ. But it's also a time to sit back and hear from God. That's why he says, I need you to regularly practice the Shabbat, the rest, so you can hear from me. But also, another aspect of the rest is back to the Israelites. Believing God is and who he says he is, and believing in his word. Because that's where the rest is. You actually have to believe God is who he says he is and what he says he's going to do. And again, don't get caught up in your situation. I'm telling you, our life, all of our individual things that happen to us, our experiences, we can get caught up like the Israelites and be led astray because we look at our finances. Those bills, they're really, really big. My income, not so much. So then you get concerned with and preoccupied with how big those bills are, and you forget how big your God is, right? We look at illness, our failing bodies. I talked about my mother who's 80 years old, right? She's getting up there in age. So her body is beginning to decline. It's beginning to decay. Now she could sit back and, oh, woe is me. My knee hurts today. My shoulder hurts. My back hurts. My blah, blah, blah. Okay, you can focus on all of that. Or you can remember that God is my healer. That God is my all in all. And so, yes, I ache, but I'm going to bless his name anyway. I'm going to praise him anyhow. So you get past your circumstance, and that is where you find rest. One last aspect of God's rest, peace. If you ever visit a Sabbath service, you will hear people greeting one another saying, Shabbat Shalom. They bless each other by pronouncing peace and wholeness. The fullness of God's rest. Shalom is that wholeness of well-being. And Shabbat, the rest of God. Shabbat Shalom is what they say. May you be restored to wholeness on this blessed Sabbath. When we rest in God, we are restored and renewed. We can re-enter the world with a fresh anointing from God to continue his work. And so this is why the writer of Hebrews says, fight to enter his rest. It's not about all the stuff that you're trying to do. Come, enter God's rest. Then you can be replenished to go back out and enter into that world who is lost. And be salt and light. Be that peace that they are so searching for, but yet can't find because they're going to the wrong source, right? There are many scriptures that support this notion. Matthew 11 is one of them. You hear Jesus saying himself, inviting us to follow him. And what does he say? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So we see that if we obey God's word, if we walk in all that he gives us, he will give us peace and rest in our spirit. And so my prayer for us this week is that we avoid the pitfalls that the Israelites of old fell into, that we take heed to the Hebrew writer's words, let us do our best to enter God's rest. That means we have to be mindful. We have to be intentional about it with purpose. I am going to seek God's rest. I encourage you to keep your eyes on God. I know. There's a lot of distraction in the world. A lot of distraction. We got all kinds of bad news all the time when you turn on the TV. There's illness. There's famine in the land. There are people who are hurting, who are dying around us. We have the virus, right? Who in the world thought we'd be standing in a time where there was another virus that would take so many lives? All of those things, though. Distractions by the enemy of our soul. They should motivate us to seek God so that we know and can experience his peace and his rest. So I encourage you to keep your eyes on God. Don't be distracted by whatever you're experiencing. God's rest is evidence in our lives when we practice the Sabbath. Physically take a break and spend time with God. When we believe God, who he says he is and what he's going to do. And we experience God's peace, his restoration of our body, our mind, and our spirit. When we take his yoke in exchange for ours. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. It is so simple, yet complex. And so we ask that you would move in our hearts, move in our very spirits. We are burdened. We're burdened with love for others, burdened with the things that you have given us, but we gladly place them at your feet so that we can exchange all of those heavy things, God, all of those heavy things. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know what the rest of this day holds. So we put it at your feet, God. And we ask that your Holy Spirit remind us, live in us, give us a new fire for you. That we exchange our burdens for yours, because Jesus said his burdens are light. And in you we find rest and we find peace. So we enter it now so that we can go from this place renewed and emboldened and on fire with passion and love for the lost. Because that's what you've created us to do, to go and be. And so for this we say thank you, Father. Thank you for entrusting us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We exchange our heavy burdens for your light one. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Amen and amen.
We're going to stand. And I have the wrong name. 270. That's right. She has the words. And then we're going to do communion after we sing our song, Debbie. I love the words to this song.
Thank you.
make me holy, with thy spirit fill me. All I am or hope to be, now and through eternity, with thy spirit fill me, with thy spirit fill me, with thy spirit fill me, make me holy, with thy spirit fill me. Lord, commission me, I pray. Souls are dying every day. Help me lead them in their way, with thy spirit.
We've come to the place in our worship time here together where we practice observing Holy Communion. So I'm going to call on our Deacon Judy, if you would help me pass out the elements, okay? And I'll be back in a moment. Love the fellowship here in this body of Christ. We have such faithful people who are willing to serve their brothers and sisters. We've taken some up to the balcony, some to the kitchen as well, for those are there who are preparing and working. So God, thank you. Thank God for you for doing that. And so I invite you now. The reason we do communion, by the way, for those of you who are watching who may not know, We are observing what the Jewish people call the Passover. It was actually found in that Exodus story that we talked about in today's sermon. It was that last, right? It was that last testimony to the Egyptians who God, the God of the Israelites, truly was. And so in order to leave, they had to take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over and save those who were in that household. When Jesus sits down with his disciples that day before he's going to be crucified, he says to them, you know, this is the Passover, but there's new meaning to this Passover. It's not that Passover lamb of old that got the Israelites out of Egypt. I am that lamb. And so he invites his disciples, take this bread, eat it. It is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat. And he explains to them, in the new Passover, it's not the blood of the lamb that was shed on that door. It's my blood that is being shed for you so that you will know God. You will live in his power. And when I come again, you will live with us forever. Take, drink it. He says to his disciples, when you do this, you are remembering all that I have done among you. Don't be like the Israelites and forget the work that God has done in your life. Remember who he is. And that's why we take this communion. Remember who Jesus is. It's not your individual works. That's not what's going to get you into heaven. It's the work of Christ.
Amen.
Believing that his body was broken for you. Believing that his blood was shed for you. And he is the answer to eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
So we take it. And we remember the work of Christ, that he empowers us. His spirit lives in us now, empowers us to go from this place and show the rest of the world who God is so that they can know him and love him like we do. Pray with me one more time. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for the elements that represent your great masterpiece of Jesus Christ. Before we were even born, you knew that we would sin and that we would fall out of good relationship with you. And so you provided Christ so that we could believe in him and our relationship with you would be restored. So we thank you for his broken body. Thank you for allowing him to die on that cross for our sins, taking our place. We thank you for his blood that was shed so that we might live. And not only live for ourselves, but live for your glory, to serve others around us, and to win them for your glory so they know who you are. Empower us, even this moment, so that when we go from this place, we will reflect who you are in our lives. And we thank you for it. Amen and amen. God bless you. God keep you. Go with grace and go in his love.